Yeah, so there was a period of time where I really loved God so much. I don't know if it was my school's influence or because I had some Christian friends, but I remember I would write little love letters to God and draw like fish on them and say, God, can I be a Christian? And I just remember having the most powerful feeling of God being all around me, like the way I feel the air right now is just this like embrace all around me. And somewhere along the line, also when I was very young, that started changing. I'm not really sure why. Maybe it was my parents' influence, but I did make friends with a girl down the street and we started doing seances together. So we would sit around in a little circle of two with my grandfather's war medals over a board and try and speak to the dead. And I remember always being so frustrated that it didn't work and I was kind of pretending. I thought it really worked for her and she was feeling things, and I was so jealous. And I think that kind of lit a fire in me to maybe keep pushing a little bit. And I started doing candle magic. I remember grating candles and like making wishes over them with one of my other friends. And all of these things, I would go to the occult shop with my mother and carry on doing the seances and reading all of these things about witchcraft. There's a lot of occult in some children's books. And I think looking back, somewhere along the line, I must have maybe opened a doorway to something because I didn't really know what I was doing. My intention the whole time was just to have a conversation with my granny. I mean, who doesn't want to speak to their past relatives? But I started getting really bad nightmares or sleep paralysis almost every single night for my whole childhood, to the point that I would almost have an like amnesia from the trauma when I woke up in the morning because I had to just get on and keep going with my life and I couldn't explain it. But I remember every single night as a child when I lay down and put my head on my pillow, the memories of the sleep paralysis and all these strange things going on in my room would come back and I would start sweating and shaking and I just knew I had to keep my eyes closed, otherwise I would see something I didn't see. So I didn't want to see. So I remember I would see these very tall, thin skeletal figures come into my room with like long skeletal fingers. And I would usually just kind of like walk around and look at me and then leave. But it was completely terrifying. It was completely terrifying. And I just kind of coped through this somehow for all of my teen years. But then when I approached my early 20s, I started learning a little bit more. I suppose the internet became more of a thing and Facebook became more of a thing. And so I started learning about people called mediums. And apparently, a lot of these people were like me in a sense that they had sleep paralysis. They would see weird things that weren't really there, but also they knew they weren't crazy because they didn't fit into like a mental illness. And so I kept digging. And eventually I met a woman who was very sweet to me. And she basically trained me in mediumship. She said to me that I was seeing these things because there are beings or spirits somewhere that want to communicate with me and I can help them. And if I help them and learn how to like use the right energy, I'll be safe and everything will be okay.
Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit and flesh this out so we can actually get an understanding of your childhood and how that developed into your early 20s. So when you said that you were doing seances, how old are we talking about?
Very young. I would say, yeah, it was definitely younger than primary school, so I think 5 or 6, and it carried on for a while.
Okay. And when did the first sleep paralysis or demonic encounters happen?
It's hard to say exactly, but I would say around 7 or 8.
So shortly after that, when you had started getting into witchcraft. And when it comes to these sleep paralysis experiences, I don't know if all of them were sleep paralysis, but the things that were happening at night, were there any of them that were physical in nature? Can you kind of explain what you would see, feel, all of that?
So I would have these experiences all the time when I was a child of seeing these strange, demonic looking, like tall, really skeletal beings with like really long fingers, walking around my room at night, and sometimes things would fall off shelves. I would hear footsteps. I remember being poked, and I just kind of coped with it by pushing it down and either telling myself I was crazy or it wasn't real. And so during the day, I would wake up and forget the memory and be normal and get through my day. But every single night of my life as a child until I maybe turned 20, I remember lying down at night and my head touching the pillow and having all of these memories come back and just feeling so much fear, like sometimes sweating and shaking and just knowing I had to keep my eyes shut because if I opened them, I would often see something I didn't want to see and that I couldn't explain because it didn't fit into this idea of reality that I had been given.
Yeah. Did you ever talk about it to someone when these things were happening to you?
I can't remember. I think I know I spoke to friends about things like spirits and the dead, because that was all kind of normal in my reality. Even though I was brought up by Christians, the spiritual side of life was very much alive, and there was this strand of the occult in my life. I knew spiritists and like people with crystals and the people doing seances, but I never really brought it up in a way that I was asking for help, because I was still questioning myself. My nature, even though I've been through all of this stuff, has always been a skeptic. And so I was kind of just trying to figure out what was going on and also cope with what was happening to me. But in my late teenage years, I was introduced to a woman who was a channeler and a medium. And I went to her for help, essentially, because I knew something strange was going on and maybe she could help me. And this woman was very sweet-natured. And she decided that I needed to be trained in mediumship and also channeling, because her explanation was that I was seeing and experiencing these weird things, not because I'd necessarily opened a doorway, but because I was given this gift of seeing beyond the veil and it was fantastic and I just needed to learn to hone it, which made sense to me at the time. So I started buying tarot cards, angel cards, practicing a very significant amount of meditation, hours and hours of meditation, channeling, astral projection, mediumship, all of these things. And of course, I had this interest in the spiritual world because, I mean, for me, I always think, even if there is something scary, like the things I've seen at night, I found it really comforting to know that there is something more than this 3D reality of just 9-to-5s and cars and work, and that there's something more. Because if there's something bad, maybe there's something else. So that was kind of the strand I was pulling on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense. That makes actually a lot of sense. And I think that actually will come back in the story. But when it comes to mediumship, I think you said earlier that you met this woman in your early 20s and she started teaching you about mediumship. How accurate were you when it comes to readings? Because from people that usually are outside of this world, a lot of people believe that this all is like fake, or it's like psychology, you kind of guess what the other person is. But what was it like for you? How accurate were the readings, essentially? That's the question.
They were startlingly accurate, startlingly. And I never did it like fully professionally or anything. I was just kind of introduced to people. We would practice reading each other, but I would get a full reading. I could tell you the name of someone. I could tell you where your keys were. I could tell you if you had a haircut yesterday. All of these things, they just came to me. And at the time, that was so wonderful, because it's like, oh my goodness, there's something beyond the veil and we can connect to these things. And I used to think I could speak to my dead relatives and connect to them for guidance. But now looking back, I know there was something else going on.
Yeah, and it's actually going to transpire later in your story. So having grown up in a culturally Christian home, having gone to church, on a maybe regular or semi-regular basis when you were younger, what did you think about God at this point in your life and these spirits? Can you kind of explain your thought process when it comes to that?
God was what I wanted him to be. God was, I would use the words God and the universe and love interchangeably. And really, I had a very self-focused view of the world, because I thought it's just about me being on my journey and growing, whatever works for me and helps me understand is right, it's the best. It's about kind of that personal truth. And I was very, I suppose a lot of my ideas were based in maybe Buddhist philosophy, wanting to achieve personal enlightenment rather than actually connecting to some greater like authority that can lead me and guide me. And so I was very much on my own. And I think that's why I really clung to these practices, because I was so desperate for guidance and support, you know, the tarot cards and the channeling, that was all I had.
I kind of want to get into the second part of your story. So this is kind of the introduction leading up to what I would consider the biggest shift for you, or at least one of the most significant ones. And it has to do with Kundalini. So I know that you practiced Kundalini yoga. It's not necessarily something that I've looked into before. I've heard Kundalini and yoga separately, but together, not really. So how did you stumble across that?